And I thank God for them and that they have been able to accomplish such a mighty task. I happen to be married to one, I'm glad to say. But lastly, there are broken relationships between mothers and children, as well as mothers and fathers. So what is the ideal woman like? You will get a variety of answers to that question. Someone said the ideal woman was described 25 years ago in Proverbs 31, and she's still intimidating sisters ever since. So I don't know who she is. Ladies, you got to find her one day, and if you got a problem with her, you need to see her. But she's a bad sister. Some say the ideal woman is a woman, brothers, who will obey your every whim, who will wait on you hand and foot, and literally worship the ground that you walk on. I think there's a word for that. That's called male chauvinism. Others say that the ideal woman can do the work of two men. And if a woman was prime minister or president, wars would end, unemployment would be eliminated, world hunger would be a thing of the past. The truth is probably somewhere in between. Proverbs 31 describes the ideal wife and mother. We look at verses 11 and 12, and it reads this way: the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. So she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Other words, he can completely trust his wife. He can give her the password to the bank account and know that when he comes home at night that there's still money in the bank account. He can trust her to go out for a ladies' night out and know that she's out with the ladies. He can trust her, and he is confident that there's nothing that she's going to do to embarrass him. That's the virtuous woman. That's the ideal wife. That's the one that our mothers and fathers hope that we would meet, brothers. That's the one that they wanted us to bring home. The virtuous woman. Shaniqua was all right. Where you found her. But she wasn't the marrying type. So you brought home Sue. But she's a virtuous woman. She represents you well and she handles business well. We also see in verses 13 through 15 that to her, work is not a bad word. Let's look at verses 13 to 15. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maid servants. She willingly works. Now, we know traditionally that it has been the man who is the provider. But if we look at this scripture, we see that women have been working for a long time. Women are partners with their husbands to make ends meet, to make the household prosperous. So this scripture lets us know that work is not a bad thing for a woman to do if she chooses to do that. And so this woman worked hard, and she worked long. She worked out of the house, and she worked in the house. In fact, she worked while it was still dark outside. Oh, I'm sure somebody can relate to that, that your work doesn't stop at 5 o'clock when you punch the clock. That your work continues once you get home and people are looking at you, what's for dinner? Your work continues when they're saying, do I have a clean shirt for tomorrow? The work never stops. She feeds and clothes her family well. This woman went far distance to bring home the best food that she could for her family. Now, today, that might mean that you shop at Giant Eagle, Aldi's, and Save-A-Lot because you're trying to make your money work. But you look at the cans and say, that's full of sodium. I'm not going to put that in front of them. That's full of sugar. I'm not going to put that in front of them. So it looks different, but it's the same. But that's a virtuous woman. She keeps her eyes open for good deals. She's diligent in business. I'm going to say this, that a virtuous woman is a smart woman. This was a smart woman. She had a brain on her shoulders, and she used it. Brothers, let's not be intimidated by our virtuous wives. Oh, that was real quiet. Look, they still call you man. You still wear your pants and put them on like the rest of us. But it doesn't mean that we should act as if our wives or our mothers are dumb. Because they're far from that. The virtuous woman is intelligent. She's bright. She is successful in her own right. But ladies, look at this. Verse 26 and 27. She watches her speech. She watches her speech and her behavior. We have glorified through BET and TV1 all of the newfound attitude that a woman, a wife, or a mother is supposed to have. It is not okay to cuss at your children. It is not okay to disrespect your husband. It is not okay to act like Shaniqua when your name is Sue. Now I know that Shaniqua lives in all of you. And under the right circumstances, she will show up. Jesus, I know. But if we're striving to be the ideal woman, wife, mother, we need to allow God to bridle our tongues. Because words hurt, and they do damage that are irreparable. We are to carry ourselves, ladies, in a way that is respectable and pleasing to God. Amen. Now, I believe, having said that, that all women should strive to achieve the idealistic description given in Proverbs 31. But most of us live in a realistic world. And I'm not saying it's not possible, but to fulfill the entire list constantly throughout life is not an easy task. Nobody's perfect. And I want to use these scriptures, if you will, to springboard us to talk about the idealistic versus the realistic. In the idealistic world, everything is perfect and nothing goes wrong. Your husband does everything right, doesn't make any mistakes. He says all the right things, remembers everything you need to remember. Your children listen to you all the time. They follow the rules. They make the honor roll every time. In the idealistic world, everything is perfect. And everyone gets what he or she wished for. And everything, no matter what, ends with, and they all live happily ever after. As much as we would like that to be true, we know that that's for the fairy tales. So let's be realistic. We deal with problems throughout life. Life happens. Life happens to us as individuals. Life happens to us as couples. Life happens to us as families. Life happens. We can't predict what's going to happen from one day to the next. But we who have Jesus Christ know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But let's be real. Broken dreams are often the norm. We don't want to admit that, but a lot of times the dreams, sooner or later, get broken. And I hate to be pessimistic, but there are some things that never get fixed. Idealistic versus the realistic. The idealistic mother will have a perfect body even after she has birthed 4 or 5 children. Now, that might be somebody's reality. God bless you, sister. I know it's possible. But the realistic mother knows that most people will never see size 8 or 10 again except for a shoe size. And that's all right. The idealistic mother will expect to attend her son's graduation, and he graduates with honors. And for some people, that's true. And praise God for that. But the realistic mother may have to visit her son in jail. The realistic mother may even have to go to his grave site. Or she might even be a childless wife who lives with the pain like Hannah did, wanting a child, but having none. The idealistic mother lives in a castle-type home, sitting up on a hill. And for somebody, that might be reality. But the realistic mother may live in an apartment downtown. She might live in the ghetto. She might live in the projects. She might live anywhere. The idealistic mother might have a master's degree or a doctorate and has her own office in some tower downtown. But the realistic mother may have barely finished high school. Maybe she dropped out and is still working on her GED. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning, but that's the reality that people live with today. And she takes whatever job that she can. If she has to work down at the Marriott cleaning floors and changing beds, if she has to work behind the counter at McDonald's, but she does what she has to do to take care of her family. You see, idealistic families oftentimes only exist in fairy tales and poems or movies, but most people live in reality. I believe that sitting in our pews today, in pews all over this country, there are realistic moms living in a real world. So we give cards today, we give flowers, we give various gifts this weekend to mothers. But what do most mothers really need? I believe that one of the things that real mothers need is forgiveness. Forgiveness for all the times that she wasn't able to meet those idealistic expectations. Because, see, forgiveness will relieve the guilt even if it is unrealistic. She needs forgiveness. Forgiveness for all the mistakes that she's made in her life. She needs forgiveness for the sins that she's committed against God. Because, see, all mothers have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only does she need forgiveness today, but she needs grace. She needs grace to understand that no one is perfect in a real world. She needs grace to accept that whatever she has done, it's done. Forgetting those things that are behind, we press forward to the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. She can't go back. The past is done. You cannot rewrite the pages of your life. It's already written. But thank God for grace that allows us to go beyond the past into the present and forward in the future. She needs grace to understand that she is not alone. To know that there are many others just like her in the same position right here this morning. And lastly, she needs this morning not only forgiveness and grace, but she needs mercy. Yeah. To deal with the broken heart, to deal with those disappointments, those things that have hurt her, she needs mercy to deal with the broken home that she lives in. She needs mercy to deal with the wayward child. Even though she trained up the child in the way he should go, expecting that he would not depart, but yet and still she finds her son or her daughter strung out on drugs, find them someplace where they ought not be in life, and it hurts. She needs mercy. She needs mercy this morning to deal with the heartaches of the decades of mothering. Because mothering is not just age 0 to 18. Well, I got a witness. You're a mother for the rest of your life. See, being a mother is more than conceiving a child and birthing a child. It's everything that we read in Proverbs 31 and more. But aren't you glad today that God is there to help us? I'm not trying to excuse inappropriate behavior, but I'm saying that there is a God. There's a God to help you through. Regardless of your situation this morning, you need a God of reality. Hebrews 2:17 says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to comfort them that are tempted." Not only is he our high priest, but he's able to be sympathetic to our situation because he is our intercessor. Because he too lived in this flesh, mothers. He lived so that he would be able to know and feel what you know and what you feel. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Are there any mothers in the room today, any grandmothers in the room today who have found grace and mercy in the throne room of God? When things are going backwards instead of forward, when you're going down instead of up, when you don't know which way to go, and you go boldly before the throne of grace and say, "God, I need your grace. I need your mercy. If you don't show up, I don't know what I'm going to do." But God, in his own way, in his own time, finds a way to find you. To deal with the reality of being a real mother in a real world. This morning I want to leave you with this, and I've asked some of the men to help me. I want to provide a Mother's Day card for real mothers who live in a real world. It's a Mother's Day card, not from me, but from God. See, Happy Mother's Day cards, they have a little message inside of them. So you go to great care to pick one out that matches your sentiment for your mother. See, it's important what we write inside the Mother's Day card, what is written inside the Mother's Day card. But if you buy a Christian card, there's usually a verse of scripture somewhere in that card. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to give you some word. Because see, all the stuff that Hallmark writes, all the stuff that some creative person wrote, that's good. That'll last for today. But it's the word of God that will last next week, next month, next year, and whatever year you pull that card out, because it's in the word that will not leave you. When you feel discouraged, mothers, anybody have been discouraged? Yeah. See, motherhood isn't for the weak. It's not for the faint-hearted. Amen. Mothers need a lot of encouragement every day. Listen to what God writes on the inside of this Mother's Day card to you. One of the brothers has Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 and 31. Stand up and read it real loud. What's that saying to your mothers? When you feel like giving up, don't give up. Why? Because God understands. That is your word of encouragement from God. Mothers, when you get discouraged, open up your Mother's Day card in Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, and read the message that it sends to you. And then you can say with Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Mothers, when you feel angry, anybody ever got angry? Really? If you haven't, we're going to nominate you for sainthood. Listen to what God has written on the inside of this Mother's Day card to you if you're finding yourself angry every now and then. Somebody's got Ephesians 4, 26 and 31 and 32.
All bitterness, rage, and anger, wrath, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Amen. 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 God doesn't say it's wrong to be angry. But he does say you have to be in control of your anger. So God has a message for you this morning, mothers. Don't stay angry. Now, there's a purpose for anger. You're supposed to get angry. You should, as a mother, get angry over disobedience, over lack of respect. Because if you didn't get angry over it and just permitted it and encouraged it, then you wouldn't be much of a mother, would you? But deal with it and turn it into a tool, not a weapon. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Mothers, when you feel angry, open up God's Mother's Day card to that scripture and read his message. Don't let your anger control you, but let God control your anger. When you need help, you got to open up that Mother's Day card. Mothers, have you ever felt like you needed some help? You ever felt like you were still all alone with all this Mother's Day business? I mean, I know you get lots of help, I'm sure, from if you have a mother, your mother-in-law, your husband. But have you ever felt like you just needed more help? Then open up this card to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Your heavenly Father is always there to help. He's got some other helpful words of encouragement. Here are some of them. Psalms 32 and 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Mothers, you're not alone. Psalm 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Don't give up. Help is on the way. Wait on the Lord. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Still not convinced? Well, listen to Galatians 6 and 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. See, God is not going to abandon you. He's always there to help you. When you feel alone, that might also be a good time to pull out your Mother's Day card from God. Mothers, have you ever felt like even though you were in a household of children, they all wanted your attention at the same time, and yet you still felt like you were alone all by yourself? You can be in the middle of Walmart, kids hanging off the shopping cart, and you still feel alone. Well, Jeremiah 33 and 3 says, call on me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. See, it's strange how we can be in the middle of a crowd and still feel alone. But Jesus tells you in John 14 and 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Sometimes all we need is a hug. A hug from God. Just a reassurance that he's there. So God tells you in Hebrews 13 and 5, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When Jesus left this earth to return to his heavenly Father, he left this promise to you. He said, and lo, I am with you always, not sometimes, not just at church, not just on Sunday morning, not just at prayer meeting, but lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Mothers, you are not alone in raising your children. God has not abandoned you. Whenever you feel lonely, just open up your Mother's Day card from God and just know that he's just one prayer away. When you feel tired, anybody felt tired every now and then? Even if you don't work, you still work. You get tired. It's been said that if you were out in the business world, a stay-at-home mom would be worth $70,000 a year. She's a taxi driver. She's a judge. She's a lawyer. She's a chef, a psychiatrist, a teacher, a preacher, a doctor, and much more. So even if you don't work, you work. And I can imagine you get tired. So open up your Mother's Day card from God this morning. And Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all you who labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. See, you won't find rest by hiding in the closet, Mom. You won't find rest by locking yourself in the bathroom. But you'll find rest in Jesus. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When you get to the end of your rope, don't hang yourself. But come to Jesus for some much deserved rest. When you're worried, moms, anybody been worried? I don't know what mother doesn't worry. It's a part of being a mother. But you can open up God's Mother's Day card when you're worried, and you turn over to Philippians 4, verses 6-7. About nothing. God's got it. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Mothers have very broad shoulders, but they don't compare to the shoulders of God. He can hold a lot more than you can. The old gospel song says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. See, we have a habit, mothers, fathers, Christians, of taking our burdens to the Lord, and before we get up off our knees, we take them back. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Mothers, you don't have to worry, even though I know you will. You got somebody to go to, somebody who's waiting for you to unload on him. Don't deny him the privilege of carrying your burdens for you. Mothers, real mothers in this real world, God sends you a Mother's Day card today. And he has written some personal message in it for you. Take it home with you. Put it in your heart and open it up when you need it the most. And you'll find that his word will always be there forever. Amen. Mothers, real mothers, need to depend upon God. And in order to depend upon God today, you have to have an encounter with God. Not just
a casual relationship, but a personal relationship, one in which you know him and he knows you. And when you have that kind of encounter with God, where you allow him to come into your life just the way that it is, even though it's tore up from the floor up, even though it's messed up, even though there are things that are imperfect, even though there are problems that you don't have answers to, even though you have failed time and time again, God says, I challenge you and invite you to have an encounter with me as a mother. Don't be intimidated by the virtuous woman, but strive to be the virtuous woman with the help and the grace and the mercy of God. You believe that today, that God loves you just as you are? God sees you just as you are. He hears the cry of your heart. He knows where you are as a mother, as a child. He knows. And we serve a real God who is not intimidated by our realities. Today, have that encounter with God. Father, we thank you that you're a real God who cares about real people like us. That no matter what our realities are, you are bigger and greater than anything that we're dealing with. And God, I pray today that as we look at ourselves, whether we're mother or father, son or daughter, we will be honest with you and honest with ourselves and claim our dependence upon you today. Lord, if there be somebody here today under the sound of my voice who has not yet had that initial encounter with you, who has not had that salvation experience, I pray, God, you would touch their heart. God, that you would find them right where they are, and they would confess that they need you as their Savior. And Lord, if there are those of us here today, mother, father, son, or daughter, God, who know you, but yet, Lord, we find the realities of our life don't compute with the word, that we don't measure up, that we've fallen short in some way or another. God, I pray that you would draw us by your Spirit to come and be restored and empowered. Lord, if there's somebody here today who finds themselves on the outside looking in, they're saved, but yet they don't belong, and they want to belong to a body, God, I pray that you would give them the assurance that this is the place that you've called them to be a part of. So, Lord, whatever the needs might be in this room, we pray, God, you would bless, that you would have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand to our feet, the doors of the church are open. God is calling. Is there one today? One today who wants to answer the call? One who say on this Mother's Day, I tried to do it my own way, but my way's not working. I'm willing to give you a try, Jesus. Is there one? Is there one today who wants to come back? You've been away.
You've drifted. And you want to come back close to God. He's calling you today. While you're standing, I'm going to ask my wife to stand in proxy. As the first lady, I'm going to pray for all the women and the mothers that are in the room and part of our congregation, even those that aren't even here today. Father, we thank you for women. God, you created them special. God, you formed them and fashioned them that they might be a helpmate to man. We thank you, Lord God, today for not only women, but we thank you, God, for those that you have allowed to be mothers. God, I pray that you would just strengthen them. Help them, Lord, to depend upon you for their every need. Lord, guide them, direct them, give them, Lord, insight, give them favor, give them boldness, God, to be the woman of God that you have called them to be, even inside the realities of the world in which we live. And I pray, God, that you would help any woman here today who needs to forgive herself for falling short. Lord, let them feel your love. Let them feel your grace, your mercy, your peace, and your forgiveness. And God, give them a renewed vigor, determination, and hope that they may continue to be the woman of God that you have called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just give the Lord a little praise, a little worship? He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I also want to take a moment. I don't get to do it often, but I want to thank Pastor Jackie for last Sunday. I hear she... She left me a pulpit to preach from. Thank you, Pastor Jackie. We thank God for all of our associates and all they do, seen and unseen. Amen, amen. Well, please keep all your announcements in mind, those that were brought to your attention, those that are still to be read in your bulletin. And we hope that we will see the leaders on Friday. And we hope we will see everybody on Saturday, whether here or at the walk. Amen? Amen. Amen. Visitors, we want you to go downstairs if you would. Actually, we would invite you, if you don't mind. Get a jump start. We'll let you come on out now. And the greeter's waiting for you back there. We'd love to have you downstairs at our table. So you feel free to follow Sister Verl downstairs. Amen. If all hearts and minds are clear, may we stand. Yeah. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, henceforth, and forevermore, let us all sing together.